amend. It's very similar to one that I have. It's essentially the same, only the days that he has sections down there are different from mine. For instance, mine is Psalms on Sunday, and then you go through Genesis through Deuteronomy on Monday. I'm sorry, Psalms on Sunday, Genesis through Deuteronomy on Monday, and so forth. But it works very well. And so each day of the week, you have a different section to read from, and it's a good thing to do. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Very important. That's the most important thing you can do each day as a Christian, because it will give you, it will center you, it will remind you of the truth of God and how to guide your life. So I would strongly encourage you to read your Bible every day, and the schedule that's been distributed is a good way to do it. You can read through in a year. This morning I want to talk about the pattern. And I mentioned in the bulletin, the title of the lesson is Warned by God. And if you have your Bible with you, turn to Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. 1 through 6. The book of Hebrews has been described as a sermon, an encouraging sermon, because the Christians there were getting discouraged, disheartened, because of difficulties and hardships and persecutions they were going through. And the writer of Hebrews is trying to buck them up, to kind of get them back to where they were and to not leave the Lord, not to forsake the faith. And at this point, he talks about a lot of things through the book. He talks about the priesthood of Christ, which is a major theme through Hebrews. But in Hebrews chapter 8, 1 through 6, let me read this. Now, the main point in what has been said is this. We have such a high priest, who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, hence it is necessary that this high priest also have something to offer. Now if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are those who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For see, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. What I want to talk about this morning, and often my lessons have to do directly with Jesus, or I tie Jesus Christ in to the lesson. I may talk about how to live as a Christian life as it ties to Jesus, or to examine Jesus and who he was and is, and so forth. But I want to talk about the church, and actually I'm talking about Jesus, because the church is the body of Christ on earth. Jesus has gone back to heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father as we sit here. But we, the church, are his body on earth in this location. And as his body, you can't talk about the church really without talking about Jesus. But we're going to talk about a principle this morning that is mentioned by the writer of Hebrews. Moses was a great prophet. He was a great prophet in a number of ways. But he had to listen to the instructions of God back in the book of Exodus. Had he not listened, then things would be different in the history of Israel and what had happened there. Notice in verse 5, which is really a key verse that I want us to look at here, Jesus has been described as being a high priest, but he could, if he were still on earth, he could not be a priest according to the law, because under the law, only the Levitical tribe could produce priests, and Jesus was not of the Levitical tribe. He was not of the tribe of Levi. Therefore, something had to be changed, something had to be done, and Jesus dies for the sins of mankind, is raised, goes back to heaven, and now he has been given a position of priesthood, which is unique and new. Because he's of the tribe of Judah, on earth he couldn't have been a priest according to the law, but now God has changed the covenant. He has changed his mode of dealing with people to a new covenant through Christ. And then he talks about what had been done under the law. He said in verse 5, who serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses, now notice, was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. Now the tabernacle was a small, relatively small, portable setup of things for the Israelites to carry with them. And this tabernacle had certain vital, important, central things to the faith of the Jew at that time. And God had instructed Moses, be very careful, follow the pattern, follow the instructions, follow the mold, so to speak, of what he is to build. He says, see that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. And what I want to do is talk about this pattern, this idea of pattern. We're not going to talk about the old covenant. We're going to talk about the new covenant, the religion of Christ, the church, and the principle that still holds true today. My first point in the lesson is that God has the right to instruct both Moses back then and people today to follow a pattern. I do believe that there is a legitimate and very important principle to be learned here, and that is that the church, which some think is parallel to the tabernacle and some think it is not, but I think the principle holds true. If Moses was instructed to follow a very specific pattern in building the tabernacle, would we expect God to think any less of following his instructions for the religion of Christ today, the church? And I don't think we should think that there would be any lessening of a principle here. God has the right to instruct people to follow a pattern. God cares about his instructions being followed. He cares about his instructions being followed. The church is not just anything and everything. There are a lot of different ideas in people's minds as to what the church is. And because of the nature of my lesson this morning, I don't have time to go into all of the ins and outs of thinking of people. I just want to establish the principle that there is a form or a pattern that we can detect in the New Testament to see what the church is and also what the church is not. Let me share with you a couple things. And I don't usually write on the board, but I will this morning. There is a word in the Greek, tupos. Tupos, which means pattern, mold, dye. You get the idea. It has the idea of a blueprint. Ron knows blueprints. When Ron is going to build something, he has a blueprint he works from, and you follow the blueprint. You don't kind of make it up as you go along. I guess some folks can, but generally, you follow a blueprint. The same thing with ladies. When they get a print, a pattern for a dress or some piece of clothing, there's a reason for that to be there. They follow the pattern, and guess what? They get the article of clothing that they were trying to have. The Greek word for pattern or form is this word tupos. Pattern, mold, dye, that sort of thing. And all things coming from this tupos, from this form, are going to be identical. If you follow the pattern here, it will look the same as if you follow the pattern here, as if you follow the pattern here. No matter where you are, if you follow the pattern, the same thing will come about from following that pattern. A pattern is a design for others to imitate. So if we're to be New Testament Christians and reproduce the New Testament church, there must be a New Testament pattern to imitate. Now I want to have you turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Again, now I'm going to spend almost no time on identifying specific marks of identity. We can do that at another time, and I'm willing to do that. But because of time, I want to establish a principle here. I want to establish a principle for us to to be thinking about. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Paul is writing to the Roman church, the church at the city of Rome. He says, "Thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form, that tupos of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Notice that this word tupos, you don't see it there in your English Bibles, but that's what's in the Greek. This word tupos is there, and he tells these Christians, he says, you became obedient from the heart to that what? To that form, to that pattern, to that mold, to that dye of teaching. He presented that mold of teaching to the Romans, and whatever they had heard, and Paul had not been to Rome yet. He was writing to this church, but he had never met them personally. And he had heard there was a church at Rome. He learned about the gospel that they had been taught. And he reminds them, you have been taught a pattern, a mold, a dye of doctrine. And they were obedient to that. So that form of doctrine, no other form can be taught and still teach that form. Our Lord in John chapter 8 says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue in my word. So one of the keys here to understanding a form is to go to what Jesus has to say. If you continue in my word, he says, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, not a truth, but the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Bible contains a lot of different truths that are very important, but what Jesus is talking about here are the truths that transform, that change people in the way they think and the way they live based upon what he has to say. That's why it is so important to daily read your Bible, read your scriptures. Even if it's only for 15 minutes or even 10 minutes, spend time each day letting God's word soak into your mind. Get away from other influences, TV, all these other things, and just read what it has to say. It is a world of rich things. It's just absolutely fabulous, the influence that it can have upon us and influence us into. So the truth, these are examples. The form of teaching, Romans 6, the truth in John chapter 8. Peter said this, seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. That's 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. So the truth has an identity. The truth has an identity. It's not anything and everything. It is a very specific and identifiable thing. Then there's the faith. That form of teaching, Romans 6, the truth in John chapter 8, and then the faith. The Christian faith is distinctive, and it can be preached and heard and obeyed with certainty. The Christian faith, the Christian religion, the religion of Jesus Christ is very identifiable. It's specific. It is sometimes described in the New Testament as the faith. In fact, Paul said to the Ephesians, to the Ephesian church, he says, there is one Lord, one baptism, one faith. One faith. So something that is identifiable and very singular in its nature. I want to then have us turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now this is interesting because Paul kind of peppers his epistle to the Corinthians with several mentions of this idea of the singularity and the way he taught in every church. Paul didn't teach one thing at one church in the ancient world and then go to another church and teach something different. He taught the same thing everywhere he went. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that in us you might learn not to exceed what is written, in order that no one of you might become arrogant in behalf of one against the other. Notice he says that in us you might not learn you might learn not to exceed what is written. In other words, he's exhorting them, stay with what you have been taught. Stay with what has been written. Don't go beyond it, and actually don't be short of that. Here's a body of truth, a body of doctrine. Don't fall short of it and not get into it, and then don't go beyond what is written. Stay within what is written. And that's what Paul exhorts the Corinthians to do in chapter 4. Now turn to chapter 4, verse 17. Notice what he says. For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ. Notice, just as I teach everywhere in every church. No matter where Paul went to preach and teach, he taught the same things everywhere. And he knew that was important because he wanted everyone to have a right relationship with God based upon the truth of apostolic doctrine. And that apostolic doctrine wasn't made up by him. He got it from God. Look over in chapter 7 and verse 17. Chapter 7, verse 17. We're still in 1 Corinthians. Only as the Lord has assigned to each one, as God has called each, in this manner let him walk, and thus I direct in all the churches. So he's showing the uniformity, the consistency of his teaching wherever he goes. Now come over to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 14. And look with me at verse 34. Let the women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but let them subject themselves just as the law also says. And if they desire to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is improper for a woman to speak in church. Now, you know, that we could discuss this and what this means at another time, but I want you to notice the consistency of what he says. Come down to verse 37. If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment. And then let me close out with this thought from John 13:20. And John 13:20 is the Lord instructing people of the importance of listening to his appointed representatives, the apostles. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Jesus sends apostles. Jesus says, if you receive what the apostles say, you're receiving him. And he says, and therefore, if you receive him, Jesus, you are receiving the Father. You are in fellowship with the Father. There is a continual line there that's very important. Receive the apostles and what they teach, which is found in Scripture. Receive what they say, and that proves that you belong to Jesus. And if you belong to Jesus, you belong to the Father, God the Father. An important principle to remember. So my first point here is this. He is in authority, God is in authority, and the task is serious. He has the right to establish the demand, the requirement for people to listen to his instructions, to follow this idea of a pattern. Number two, the need to. The need to. This is kind of, I guess, common sense. It doesn't even need to be mentioned, but I'll mention it. And that is that people, human beings, us, we, me, you, we have the tendency, if left to ourselves, to drift away in different ways from the sound, anchored teaching of Jesus. If we are left to ourselves, if we stop reading our Bibles, I guarantee you it's just a matter of time before we begin to kind of go off in our own direction, our own thinking, our way of thinking. And that's why the Scriptures are so important, because they give us daily reminders of what God is saying, of how life is lived, who Jesus is, how we are to be the church. And that's important. So human nature is to drift. Man forgets and easily strays. Man forgets and easily strays. In the beginning of the book of Hebrews, since we started here in Hebrews, I want to go back to chapter 2 and notice what the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. He says, "For this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For if the words spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, after it was at the first spoken through the Lord, and it was confirmed to us by those who heard?" So, he reminds those Christians that are probably at Jerusalem. There are different opinions where the book of Hebrews was sent to and who wrote it. I think it was Paul. That's what I think, who wrote it. And I think he wrote it to Christians in Jerusalem and the surrounding area because they were under intense pressure as Christians from the ruling Jewish class at the time who was opposed to the church. Now, the point is, they had become discouraged, they had become disheartened, they had become weak, their hands were hanging down, he says, and he wants to get them to realize that what they have in Christ, what they have in Christ as the high priest, is far superior to what the visible priesthood system of Jerusalem was. He wants them to know, but they have to see it by faith. And he says, we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. So that's why I want to encourage us to continue to spend, I know I've said this several times, but we need to spend time daily in God's Word, because it keeps us centered, it keeps us focused, it keeps us accurate in our thinking. And my thinking and your thinking can drift easily if we do not spend time in His Word. Number 3, the more excellent result. Okay, what have we talked about here? Going back to chapter 8 of Hebrews, it says that God warned Moses. Now, when you warn somebody, what are you doing? You know, a warning is what? If you don't follow the instruction, you're going to get in trouble. When you warn someone, you say, get the job done. Do it the right way. Am I right? You know? So, in verse 5, again of chapter 8 in Hebrews, "Who serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For see," he says, "that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain." God had a pattern for Moses to follow for the tabernacle way back thousands of years ago. And I believe that in the New Testament, we can detect through our study that there seems to be a consistent, identifiable pattern of truth, of doctrine concerning the church, the gospel, and how we interact with each other with God's approval. The more excellent result is that there are good outcomes. When we follow God's instruction, when we follow His pattern, when we follow His tupos, His mold, His die, if we follow that, good results come from that. Just good results, because God, first of all, is pleased and He blesses that effort. The history through the Bible is God gave Moses very specific instructions. And by the way, you need to look at Exodus chapters 25 and 39, Exodus 25 and 39, and you will see how detailed and how specific God was to give Moses as He made this tabernacle. Chapters 25, 26, and 27, almost three full chapters, show the very specific instructions that God gave to Moses to build the tabernacle. Almost three chapters. Think about that. That's pretty amazing when you think about the details that God was. He said, "I want you to follow this pattern." So what should be our goal today? Our goal today as God's people, as the church, is to do the best we can to follow the pattern, the mold, the die that He wants us to follow in being His church. let me close with just this. We're going to break down this statement. See, thou make all things, well, I'm not saying it right. See that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. The word see, be attentive to. The word you, man is responsible. When God gives instructions, he wants us to be responsible to listen to what he has to say. He tells Moses, make. In other words, he had action, he had doing to do. All things. Pleasing God is not a partial thing. It's not a part-time thing. Everything we should do in our lives should be to please God at all times. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Of course, we're asleep part of that time, but we should be doing all things to please God. According, the word according is used there. According means he gives the pattern, not me, and therefore he wants us to be accurate. And then he says the pattern, follow the blueprint. If you don't follow the blueprint, why bother at all? Right? Right, Ron? Ron's a builder. Several of you know what it is to follow a pattern, a blueprint. Why even start if you're not going to follow the blueprint to make the object that you want to make? And then he says, it was shown you. It was shown you on the mountain. Shown, God has told us what he wants, so we don't want to deviate from that. And the mount, where Moses heard the will of God. We hear the will of God through Jesus, his son, through the written word. And so I wanted to share these ideas with you concerning the importance of the warning that God gave to Moses, what we can learn from that, and then we can apply that principle to being the church today. The simplest, the beginning point for following this pattern is simply to do what the Lord says to do, to become a saved person, to be saved from sin. And Jesus in his Great Commission said this, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. Believing in Jesus and being baptized leads to salvation. Peter said it this way to an audience that now believed in Jesus, but they hadn't done what they should have done. They said, learning that they were guilty of the crucifixion of Christ, their essential question to Peter was, what shall we do? What can we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's the beginning pattern. That's the form of doctrine that introduces a person from being lost to saved, from being out of the kingdom into the kingdom, from being in the kingdom of darkness to come into the kingdom of light of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Unique, one of a kind, never to be duplicated. And I would encourage you to believe in Jesus. Repent of your sin. And be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And you can receive the Holy Spirit to live within you. Whatever your needs are this morning, I would encourage you to come, respond, and if we can help you in some way, let us know. We'll stand and sing.